Live from the WSBA TV podcast studio, welcome to our latest edition of the G-Race podcast.
And now, introducing the lovely Big O.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the G-Race with the lovely Big O, and I have my beautiful friend, Brandy Jenkins. Brandy, we're so excited that you're here with us. Now we're getting ready to talk about something that I feel like everyone has had or they know someone that has dealt with it before, but it touches everyone's heart. We're going to talk about all things infertility today. So would y'all please welcome my friend Brandy. Hey, Brandy.
Hello. I am so happy to be here today. You have no idea.
Listen, girl, now I can tell because, girl, look, you beat to the gods over there, honey. I said, now this is how you come and show up and show out when you on a podcast.
Look, and I did this myself.
You did good, friend.
Thank you.
Now, Brandy is the founder of Grace Infertility Foundations. It is a nonprofit bringing hope and help to families who dream of becoming parents. Now, Brandy, tell us a little bit about your heart and what inspired you to start the Grace Infertility Foundation.
So the reason why I decided to start this nonprofit came from my own personal journey and my own personal struggles with infertility. My husband and I tried for 5 years, different treatments to have a child. And we got to experience the heartbreak, the emotional struggles, the financial struggles that come with infertility. And after going through it and seeing other people having to take out mortgages, get credit cards, and just to pay for the IVF treatment,
Stories that it is very expensive, but I've also heard stories where it is taxing on your marriage, not just as a person, but as a couple. It could be hard because sometimes it's not, your husband don't really understand what you're going through, but your body's going through changes trying to have a baby and, you know, the emotional support. How has that helped, or how, or what was the disadvantages of it for you to be, you know, going through it with your husband?
Well, my husband is different. I'm gonna just tell you flat out. He is super tuned in to my emotions.
I know, because I love us husband. You hear I say I love us husband.
Yes. He is super tuned in to my body, to my emotions.
Wow.
So as I was going through it, he was right there every step of the way. He might not have been able to feel it, but he knew what I was going through. And so he was there every step of the way. And I know that's not the case for some women, which is why we like to provide that additional support with Grace Infertility. But for me, my testimony is my husband was right there every step of the way, every tear, every, you know, everything that I went through in negative pregnancy tests, he was right there.
I love it. Now, when did you first realize there was such a gap, a huge gap in support for families facing infertility?
So we finally got to the point where we could do IVF because I took a job that had 90% coverage, right? So if I didn't have that, we probably wouldn't be here today. So as I was going through IVF for Ava Grace, there was another family that was also going through IVF. And they are the ones that had to take out the credit card. And I was just like, good grief, like that.
That's a lot of money.
We talking about $30,000 at least, right? So I was blessed to have that insurance coverage, but seeing them go through it, I was just like, there's gotta be a better way. There's gotta be something. And there are grants and loans and stuff that you can take out, but
you still gotta pay the loan back though, don't you?
Yes, but grants you don't have to pay back, but there's just not enough for the 1 in 6 women who face infertility. There's just not enough money out there right now just to help every single family.
So the Grace Infertility Foundation, I love the name. It's beautiful. Why did you choose the word Grace?
Well, my daughter's name is Ava Grace, and I feel we named her that because God's grace is sufficient. Like, as we were going through this journey, and my Lord have mercy, I am not going to cry through this.
You can cry because my lash has been leaning all day, so it's fine, friend. You can cry if you need to.
Okay. God's grace carried us through our journey, right? And so my thought is, grace and fertility, we gonna lean on God and we gonna help these women and these families through God's grace, right? Yes. Like, so grace as a, you know, subsidiary of grace, Ava Grace, but also God's grace.
And
right?
Let me just tell you, Ava Grace is so precious. So I have to let her know, shout out to my girl, Ava. Every time I see her, she's such a jewel. So I can only imagine the light that she brings to you and your husband, because I love me some Ava every time I see her. She is such a joy.
She is a blessing to us. You hear me? She stay on top of us.
Of course she do. I'm pretty sure she does.
But she is the miracle that God gave us, so we now, definitely treat it that way.
For those who's listening and who may not know, can you explain what infertility treatments like IVF and IUI are, and why are they so costly?
So first let me focus on why they're so costly. A lot of times they are not recognized as medical, necessarily medical. I don't know how to say it, but they're not. Insurance companies and some doctors don't consider that a medical necessity. It's
infertility.
Elective. Yeah, they consider it an elective surgery or elective procedure, and so that's why a lot of times it's not covered by insurance. And
I don't. I guess for me, I wouldn't understand it if I have. It's infertility. It's not. I'm having issues that that doesn't make sense to me.
I know. And that's one of the things that I advocate to protect IVF and other fertility treatments. So to make it on every insurance, right? Like every insurance company, every insurance employer insurance should be offering fertility coverage. But you'll see that not many, especially in the upstate, I'm gonna just be honest, it's just maybe three that I know of that cover fertility.
So what is IVF? What is IVF?
So in vitro fertilization, so that is the most invasive, and they say invasive because it takes a lot, a big toll on your body, but that is where they take, the woman will take medication to stimulate her ovaries and her eggs to mature them so that they could then the doctor can go in, remove those eggs, take the sperm of a donor or the spouse, and in a petri dish, they will fertilize those eggs so that it doesn't have to go through the process in the body. They're doing it manually in the lab.
Under the microscope.
Yeah. So that's why back in the 80s and stuff, they used to say like test tube babies, because technically they are really fertilized in a dish.
And then they put them back in.
And then they go in, once they're fertilized, they put them back in the female's uterus, and then it's up to the woman's body to do the rest. So
I know this ain't funny, but that kind of, dang, I wish I could go back and pick my baby daddy, you know. It's one of them things. God, dog, it was like that. You sure I can't run it back and say, wait a minute, Lord, I think I want El DeBarge as my baby daddy. Like, I can't. Nah, okay, Lord.
That you can't go back.
You
that's
can't
all
go
right.
back. Okay. All right.
Now if you wanted to go forward.
No, I'm not interested in that. No, only thing coming in here is a double cheeseburger plate, half and half. Maybe with a Diet Coke or a milkshake on the side. But no, I'm not equipped to do that anymore, in Jesus' name. I don't have the patience or the power.
I understand.
And so for those that can, great, great that you do. And those that do, I do appreciate it. Now, what is IUI? I've never heard of IUI till today.
So IUI is one of those treatments that is less invasive. This is one of the treatments that you could probably get for a fraction. So we did like 3 to 5 of the IUI treatments when we were going through our journey. But the difference is what they do is they take the sperm specimen, and basically what they're doing is they're just putting it in the woman's uterus. So it's up to the sperm to travel still through the fallopian tubes still get to the egg and then fertilize. So it's really just assisting the sperm past all of those.
I never heard of that. You know, most of us tied all of that under IVF. So now it makes sense to what you're saying. I think that's something that we should all know, but I'm still mad at the fact that insurance doesn't, it almost makes it seem like they want to say it's cosmetic surgery or something, but it's really not. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand why they wouldn't cover that.
Yeah, I still to this day don't quite understand, but I mean, we're trying to get to that point. And that's one of the things, like I said, that we advocate for. I'm a part of an organization called Resolve, and I have a support group through Grace Infertility, and we talk. And then every year there is an advocacy day where we get to talk to state representatives, senators, and we're basically pleading for them.
I be trying to tell people it's so important for you to know who the people are in your Congress, the Senate, and the state house. Mm-hmm. It's not just on the presidential level. See, mm-hmm. this is the kind of thing that we need to all be aware of, that we need to be reaching out for. Now, yes. with that, what type of financial support does the foundation provide, and how do families qualify for grants?
So we are in a place right now where we are still looking for funding okay. to be able to do the big scale things like the IVF, right? Right now we have what's called the Heal Her Hope Counseling Program. Mm. So that's for women who have received that infertility diagnosis and they need to talk to somebody who yeah. understands. So that right now we are basically funding support for women who need to go through that counseling. So that's the first step. We want people to go through that. So Grace Infertility does cover the cost for that. But once we are at the point where we have that funding that we need to be able to do the IVF treatments, that's $25,000-$30,000. There is an application process that
the family. Like the price of a good car, like that's a lot of money.
And that's for one treatment. Oh, that's if you do it one time. Like we did it one time and it worked with Ava Grace. So for some people, it doesn't work the first time, so they have to do it again.
And that then it's an additional $30,000 every time you do it. So it's
just wow. depending on where you landed in that. So if you didn't get any eggs, yeah. if they didn't get many mature eggs, then you got to start from scratch.
Now, can you share a success story about a family that's been blessed through your foundation and it worked?
So we don't have anyone that we have been able to help, like I said, financially yet, but there are families who have come. We had our Seeds of Hope brunch earlier this year in April, and we had people who I had never met who somehow found Grace Infertility on Facebook and came to our Seeds of Hope brunch and were able to talk to Dr. Creighton Likes, who was my doctor when I had Ava, who were able to get some really good information, some really good resources to help them on the next steps of their journey. So right now we are in a place where resources help, you know, with the counseling and things of that nature. We just haven't gotten to a point where we've been able to, you know, write grants and give grants to people for their fertility treatments. But it's coming. God willing, we will get to that point.
We already know it's coming because you just don't do this kind of work and it doesn't all come together. I can tell that you're very passionate about it. You can hear it. And with this kind of work, it takes strength and compassion. How has your faith played a role in guiding you through this process or in this mission?
So I'll tell you, when I very first decided I was going to start Grace Infertility, I was pregnant in 2021. And I launched it. I told everybody. I put it on Facebook. And I lost that baby shortly after. Wow. And so I put it down. I did not touch it. I couldn't touch it for years. And I'll say in the beginning, I lost my faith. I stopped. I stopped going to church. I stopped praying. And I just felt so alone. I felt discarded in a sense, right?
It's okay. That's what we're here to do, to talk about it, because it's real.
Yeah.
It's more women that you're able to reach by knowing your story and knowing exactly what you go through and know that they're not alone. You're not alone. Meeting you, I never knew that you went through anything like that until you posted it on Facebook. Because you always seem to have the joy of the Lord. When I meet you, I've been around you, would never know that you've been through that. So it's okay, honey, to shed them tears. Because, baby, you are doing something that you're compassionate about. And that, you know, you're help saving other women from going through it alone. So my hat's off to you for that.
Thank you.
So you had the right to be kind of like, look, Lord, I'm tired now. I'm sick and tired.
Yeah.
And people don't think that's a real emotion, but it gets like that.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, my cousin, well, she's my cousin. She's Jaren's cousin, but Tracy, you know Tracy.
Yeah.
I called on her because I was like, Tracy, like, I don't know. Like, my daddy, because, you know, he's our father. I was like, my daddy would never give this to me and snatch it away.
Right.
And I was like, and I'm struggling. And she was like, listen, you can tell God how you feel. He knows.
Yeah.
He knows how you feel.
He made you mad. Girl.
Right.
Yeah.
And she was like, he knows you're mad, but you got to have conversation with him. You got to talk to him.
Yeah.
And so she helped me. And then I started going back. Took me to a place where I'm just like, how dare I turn my back on him after everything he's done?
Mm.
After everything he's done. Ava Grace is here to this day because of him.
Right.
So he can spin the block. Like, he can do it again. You know?
He did it before.
he can do it again.
So yes, ma'am.
I had to get out of that space. And praying husband, praying family got me out of that space. And I was able to then find purpose through that because I knew I couldn't give up. Because there were women who needed
pain
me.
Pain through purpose,
I'm telling you.
You said that. Now, infertility, like you said, can feel isolating, not just for women, but for couples. What message would you share for someone that's walking through this journey right now as a mom that feels isolated, but as a couple, what would you share with them?
Lean on each other. Mm. Like the husband, you may not understand how she feels or what she's, you know, what she's going through. Just be there. And also have emotion, too. Make sure that she knows that you're feeling this as well.
Because
she doesn't want it. That can make her feel alone. If she's the only one crying, she's the only one showing emotion through it. You got to do that, too. But also, y'all go to God together.
Come on, go to God. Now,
together.
You said that. Go to God together, not by myself.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
You have to go before him at his feet together because there's so much strength in that. When you go, it's a union.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, especially if they married, you know, that is when you're operating as one. That's what the Bible says.
That's right.
So you're right. Now, what keeps you going when the process feels heavy, when you see families still waiting on their miracle? What keeps you going?
Just knowing that I did not do this for fun. I'm not doing this for fun. There is a need. So that keeps me motivated. And also just knowing that, this is God's call, like God called me to this. This is not something that I just decided one day, oh, I'm just going to do this because it's
just going to wake up and say, I need a nonprofit.
Yeah. Cause I don't get paid. I'm doing this because of the fact that I know the pain and I know the struggle.
Wow.
And if I can do anything to help it, one person, one family, just even if it's just to get a resource to them, I'm doing what God called me to do.
Brandy, that's real. Cause you know, people, you know, oftentimes when you think about it, they don't do things anymore without having a dollar sign attached to it. So to know that you are really out here advocating for people that's dealing with infertility, that is major itself. And so how could one, donate or volunteer, or even try to help, you know, help you along the way with Grace? And what's the best way for them to connect with Grace Fertility? You know, if someone watching this and being like, you know what, I think I can help her in some kind of way. How would they be able to reach out?
So of course, my email is probably going to be that and the website are going to be your best ways. So my email is Brandy, Brandi.Jenkins, Jenkins, at graceinfertility.org. And then our website, graceinfertility.org, has a place for you to reach out, donate. Also, we have resources there. Anything that you really need is on our webpage, but also my email is open all the time. And so I can definitely use volunteers for different things. We're trying to put together events just to get information out. There's a new fertility clinic that's coming, and I want to make sure that these women know that this is here. So I'm always trying to get information out.
That is huge. That is really huge to know that it's one coming to the upstate. Is that what's happening?
It's CCRM. And Dr. Creighton Likes is going to be the director there. He's, again, the doctor that I used for my fertility treatment with Ava. So he's opening a CCRM, which is a very, very good fertility clinic.
Now, where do you see the foundation 5 years from now? And what is your ultimate vision for families and future generations?
So in 5 years, my prayer is that Grace Infertility is fully functioning. I'm able to have a staff that is able to go out into the marketplace and help people and be able to like put their hands to the plow, right? Not mm-hmm. just me. Also, I think that helping, I think a small start is helping at least 25 people a year with IVF.
Oh, good.
To cover IVF.
Good.
Oh, that's yeah. a big number, but I'm believing God for it. And then ultimately, I want this to be a nationwide thing. Like, I want to be able to help people all over. No matter where they are, they can submit the application and we'll be able to put them through the process to get that grant for the IVF. So that's what I'm believing God for Grace Infertility.
Now, and I'm believing it with you because I know we all know that he can and he will do. You know, we be looking at things, be like, well, Lord, now I told you to do it this time. But then he be like, I'm going to do it when I know it's mm-hmm. time. I know when you can handle it. But what would you say to someone wondering how their contribution could make a difference? If it was an investor listening right now, what would you say to them to say your contribution would make the difference to Grace Infertility Foundation? You know, your contribution would help do what to help Grace Foundation?
So any investor, any donation, first of all, that money goes directly to help families. And just being able to say that you've supported a mission like this to be able to change a family's life, because what you don't yeah. realize is that IVF alone is responsible for, in 2023, 950,000 births.
You said 900 what?
950,000 births. So you are literally changing what? The lives of people who may not be able to have children.
And insurance still don't think that. Again, I say, insurance still don't think that that's an issue. What? Yeah. That's almost, is that a million?
Almost.
That's almost a million.
And that was in 1 year. And IVF has been a thing for over 4 decades. So you would be changing, literally changing the lives of families who want to, are desperately trying to grow their family. They want a child of their own. They want,
yeah.
they want to have a family. And without funds, it's impossible unless, like I said, you have insurance.
And so, you know, people, you know, I know, like, I have some family members and I have friends that don't have kids yet, you know, and I'm always joking, child, well, it's highly overrated, you know, but that's different because I have one. So to be able to, you know, I have to make sure that I, you know, show sympathy and empathy to them when it comes to that, because you're right. They want a child of their own. We know that adoption is out there, mm-hmm. but most women want to experience the, you know, carrying the child, you know, going into labor, just the whole experience. So, you know, I think for, you know, people like myself or everybody, I really believe everybody should be educated on infertility. I really and truthfully do. Some of the things that you have discussed today, I would have never known if you hadn't brought it up. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's one reason why I know that you're so important to not just us here, but to the world, because it's not discussed enough. We don't know it's, you know, that this is happening. You know, we may, you know, see someone that doesn't have kids, but we don't ask, you know, the question, well, why you ain't got children? And, you know, sometimes I don't think that's the right thing to say. Please. To, especially when you're dealing with somebody that yeah. is trying to have kids, but can't have kids. Cause you know, our families is bad for doing that. Child, you ain't had no child yet.
Yes.
What's wrong with you? What you and your husband waiting on?
Right.
Was that hard for you? You know, with family and friends, when they would say that to you, was that hard?
It was very hard. And I'll say, even when, I'll have to tell you personally the origin story. But even after people, because we found out in the middle of church during a prophecy that we were going to have struggles Ooh. With infertility. So after that, people at the church were like, girl, where that baby at? Where, like, and it was just like,
See, and I know you got to have the love of God, because baby, my mouth been somewhere slick. I've been like, right. The same place your baby is. See, that wouldn't be good for me, Lord. See, he knew to cross the, but for me to cross for me to bow.
But people don't realize that it is insensitive to say, well, what y'all waiting on? Or why y'all ain't, y'all been married 6 years? Why y'all, you don't know what somebody's going through. So I tell people, never say stuff like that. You can ask, hey, are y'all thinking about growing your family? You can ask that question. And even then I probably wouldn't, but you know, some things you just don't say, because honestly, you don't hear about infertility a lot. Oh, because people are ashamed to talk about it.
Yeah.
They don't want to talk about the fact that they can't have a child.
Yeah. I figured that's what it would be like. And you don't want to, you know, you don't have anything to feel ashamed about. It's something that all of us struggle with, to believe it or not. But I know having a child for women, or just, you know, got married and, you know, your husband's not understanding. I can only imagine, you know, hey, you know, I thought we got married, you know, we're doing the things right. We doing, we living by God's law. You mean to tell me, God, that you ain't going to make a way for me and my wife to have a baby? Now we got to bring this together. So I can only imagine how that would make one feel, you know. And I tell people all the time, you just have to be mindful of how and what you say to people, because some people ain't gonna have the Brandy Jenkins spirit.
And I've seen it.
I bet you have. I bet you have. Now, for listeners who might be struggling with delayed dreams, whether it's a family, career, or their faith, what words of grace would you leave with them today?
I would say, first, show yourself grace. There is no, it's not a race to this item, this thing, this whatever. It's not a race. God's going to do it in his timing, right? Like, give yourself grace, pray, stay doing what you're supposed to do. Because once you pray about it, you let it go in terms of you don't worry, but you still need to be making action, still be doing things. If you want that job, pray about it. But also you need to start making yourself qualified.
Start
doing the things that someone in that position needs to do. If you want a baby, pray about it. And then start seeing a doctor, seeing what steps you need to take in order to get there. But like I said before, God will spin the block. If he did it before, he is no respecter of persons. He's done it. He did it for me in 2016, and he's doing it for me right now in 2025.
I was going to say, baby, you better tell the people, because I was waiting on you to let me say it, but I was like, I don't want to spill the beans, because baby, 2025, you are about to have another little baby.
Yes.
Now, we don't know what the baby is yet, do we?
No.
Are we going to find out before? Are we having a gender reveal? Because now, let me just say this now. I know, you know, this whole thing about Grace and Fertility Foundation, but now I see why people want to have a big gender reveal and the big baby showers, because they are more like productions when you do it. Are we getting ready to have a big gender reveal?
I think we're going to do one for Ava Grace. I don't think we're going to do a huge, big production. Like last time we did a cake reveal and stuff. But I think I'm really playing it up for her. Like
we
are playing this up for her.
Has she been asking for another brother or sister?
Since she was two. Since we bought our house, she says her prayers, and she used to pray for a baby brother and baby sister.
I love it.
And so that's why we did that whole big pregnancy announcement with her. We didn't do it for the world. We took video of it, right?
Right.
But like, this is just as much for her as it is for us. So we'll probably do something really special for her and just tell everybody else what it is.
I think it's going to be good. I'm so excited for you guys. I thank God that, you know, he had our paths to cross when he did. So we're going to end with wanting to know, Brandy, what scripture, quote, or personal truth has carried you and your family through the journey for helping others?
So I'll just say this. Hold on to God's unchanging hand, right? Like, do not give up hope. I know it's really easy to forget that he has covered you through every season, every other season.
My
so it's
Lord.
Really easy to forget that, but it's also really easy to remember that the things that he's brought you through.
That's right. Well, Brandy, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you here. And we just want to remind you and others, when the journey is tough, God's timing is always perfect. and his grace is always enough. Until next time, we're going to keep walking this thing out together. We're going to keep learning and growing together. So thank you, Brandy, for coming on and sharing this time with me, your girl, Lovely Big O, with G Race. All right, I'm calling all G-Racers out. If you want to be a guest on the G-Race show with the Lovely Big O, send me your story right now at lovelybigo@96.3theblock.com, or you can go on Facebook under G-Race. That's right, it's G-Race on Facebook, and send your story if you want to be a guest on the G-Race with the Lovely Big O.